It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm always out there scouring for new talent, and somebody that I've asked many times to come and visit me on the show, but I finally got her. I trapped her, and our new friend, a new friend of the program, Julia Sun. What's up, Julia?
What's up, Todd? Well, I always want to come on to your show, so thank you so much for having me.
You know, it's really a great. You have a great story to tell. Just in general, you went from California to Cornell, and then you did the whole engineering bit, and you said, okay, I got the engineering degree, but now I'm going to go become a trader. So you went and became a trader. Tell me the story. Let's hear the story.
Well, you always want to do what you want to do, right? But that's always easier said than done. So I'm a California girl, as you said. You know me really well. We talked about this many times. But I just wanted to get away from home because I didn't want to go to Berkeley. Berkeley would feel like grade 13 to 16 all over again, and I just want to explore different parts of the country. So came all the way to the East Coast, and guess what? I loved it. Even the weather kind of sucks. But now I'm in New York, and compared to upstate New York, New York City is a really big upgrade.
So how was the transition from an engineer to a TV personality, which Julia is a TV personality for many different networks, and you've probably seen her at some point or another. So how was the transition from the two?
To be honest with you, it is very hard. Because, you know, I grew up with a lot of nerds and geeks and dweebs, you know, the typical Silicon Valley types. So talking to people at one point was not really my forte, but if you want to make it in this TV business, you got to, you know, learn how to talk to people and be friendly, have people like you, and tell the story. Fortunately, I still love people, even though I wasn't really great at communication at one point. But it has been great, and I am very blessed.
Well, and we're glad too, because you're a good addition to everything that you do. And so let's talk a little business. So on Friday they had the jobs number, and of course everybody's cheering the 280,000 jobs added. And I go, and if we were playing the card game, I'd say BS. But what would you say?
Well, if 280,000, it is a good number. It is well above expectation, but I wouldn't say everybody is cheering because, well, again, it is above expectation, but the labor participation rate is not really higher. It went, I think, from 62.8% to 62.9%, 0.1% difference. That's not really a change. We're still at multi-year low because if you recall back in shortly before the recession, the participation rate is 4 to 5 percentage points higher than where we are right now. And really, we haven't seen much positive upward swing in the past a year or so. So a lot of workers in America are still getting very disencouraged. The only bright spot, I would say, coming out of this non-farm payroll increase is the service sector is hiring. There are a lot of service jobs, but that being said, the quality of the jobs overall, it's not really good, and people are definitely not making more on per hour basis. In the first quarter of 2015, you know, everybody was saying, oh my God, the growth is faltering. What are we going to do for the rest of this year? So at least over the past couple months, the growth is coming back, but I don't see any data suggesting we should be cheering. And if you look at the market sort of agrees. The, you know, equity is not really rising. The bond market, the 10-year is rallying, irrespective of what the Fed is going to do. You know, all of a sudden, everybody is telling what the Fed is supposed to do. The IMF says, okay, keep the interest rate low for another year. And the market really couldn't care less what it does in 2 weeks, and nobody, frankly, expects anything out of it. But the bottom line is the picture. I don't think it's as rosy as what a lot of people say it is.
Now, you are extremely well educated. You've been coast to coast, and you've done TV. You've done everything, and you've traded. You were a trader on the New York Stock, on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. You traded for a bank.
Yes, I have reported on and anchored on the New York Stock Exchange for a while.
But you also traded there yourself as well, correct?
Well, I was trading derivatives, but when I was trading derivatives, because I was a market maker, so I was not physically on the, I was not a, like a broker dealer, floor broker or anything, so right. I was not on the NYSE.
Okay, but you were, but, you were trading derivatives.
You make markets. Yeah.
Right. You're a market maker, you made markets, however you made them. So as a trader, from the trader perspective, what are you thinking of the markets here?
Well, I think this year you're not going to really lose a lot of money if you put the your stake in equity, because this is the year before election, and typically the year before election and the election year, they are the good years. So I think the market is okay right now. I think company-wise, a lot of the big company valuations are still very lofty. Last year, as we discussed, I felt a lot of companies did a lot of financial engineering to make themselves look better, and that worked. And, you know, prices kept going up, but I think all the financial engineering, the possible financial engineering, have already been done. So whatever they have going forward, if they want to sustain this kind of growth, it would have to be solid growth. But I don't really see a big crash coming. Per se.
Okay. Do you see, all right, well, you mentioned something that I talk about all the time. I personally have not seen growth, especially among those who need it most, which is the middle class. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think middle class is getting the very bad end of the deal during this whole recession. They're still, you know, from the job number even, they are still not growing. They're still not growing their net worth. They're not growing their job prospect or anything. And a lot of the middle class, they are the one who do not have any investment opportunities. Because if you look at the stock market or the bond market, whatever asset class people put money in, a lot of them a lot of the assets, they belong to the top, whatever, maybe 10%. And the middle class actually didn't get a fair ride out of the past few years. So I do not think the American middle class are doing well.
And I concur. I agree with that. So now we're in agreement on two things. So as a TV reporter, how would you be how would you be reporting this jobs number in this business? Because everybody does it differently. How would you personally report it?
Well, first of all, the headline is the unemployment rate actually went back up 0.1%. And of course, the natural reaction is, oh, that's not good. And that is indeed not good. But the other thing I would really stress is a lot of people are still encouraged from coming back to labor force, because, you know, unemployment rate, it doesn't count if you're in school. It doesn't count if you dropped off the labor force for a while. People don't, you know, the government, the Bureau of, I think it's Labor Statistics, they don't really count you unless you're actively looking for jobs. So in that case, if I am an average worker and I've been sending out my resume, going to interviews, but at one day I feel like, oh my God, I have 30 rejections, I'm just going to throw in the towel, then, hey, they don't really care about me anymore. I'm not part of the statistics. So I would emphasize, hey, the labor participation rate is something as important, if not more important, than the actual headline. And we are still at multi-year low. Most people are not back in the workforce after they left over the past few years.
Right. And there doesn't look to be the people that are unemployed for the most part were people that were in manufacturing, in the jobs that didn't take a degree or an advanced degree to be involved with. And those jobs will never come back, especially to this country. So that will be a problem. But we're going to step out of here for a break. We're talking to Julia Sun. Go check out her website. It's pretty cool. JuliaSun.tv. Got a lot of great stuff. And besides, if you like to look at pretty young ladies, you get a nice picture right in the front in her red dress. Go check it out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out this month's edition of the Bubba Report. It is, can be yours for $99 annually. You get a minimum of 12 issues. All you have to do is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for it. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break with more from Julia Sun. Hey traders, are options your game? Well, guess what? Bubba and Badger are going to put together a 12-week webinar series to teach you options from the very beginning to the very complex strategies. We will be doing a one-hour, once-a-week webinar telling you exactly what options are, where they become effective, and how to use them. Now, there's going to be a cost here. If you have some interest in learning the option market from the apps from the very beginning, if you've never traded options before, or if you're someone who wants to get a little bit more experience and get an idea from 75 years of training and trading, I urge you to email me now at bubba@thebubbashow.org because I want to hook you up. There is going to be a cost associated with this. I will be happy to discuss it with you personally, but get involved. 12 sessions with Bubba and Badger, one-hour training. Email me, bubba@thebubbashow.org now. Traders, tired of looking at different sources for all the information you need? Guess what? Thinkorswim has all the information you need right at your fingertips on their platform that allows you, the trader, to find out all the information you want, whether it's moving averages, whether it's Fibonacci's, whatever it is that you're looking for, Thinkorswim has it on their platform. And they make it so easy to switch back and forth between screens to allow you to find the information that you're looking for that fits your style of trade. So what I suggest you do is do what Bubba does and use Thinkorswim. All you have to do is go to thebubbashow.org, click on that Thinkorswim link, and you will be set up in minutes to at least start evaluating and paper trading on their platform where you're getting your account set up and getting your funds transferred. But Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders, the absolute best in the industry, the choice of Bubba and the Badger here on The Bubba Show. Make sure you check them out. Thinkorswim. Bubba Show listeners, Bubba here. You know, as the markets continue to move higher, we often talk about protection strategies. We worry about what will happen next. I did a webinar a couple of weeks ago about how to protect your long-term portfolio using options. And as my gift to you, I want to offer that to you at no charge. I want to send you the link that will take you through step-by-step of different strategies that we use on how to protect a long-term portfolio to lock in your gains and to continue to benefit if the markets do continue to go higher. All you need to do to get a hold of that webinar is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I will send you out a link in where you can watch it. There is no cost to you. This is something that I want to make sure that my Bubba Show listeners understand how to hedge and how to protect the portfolio by using options. So email me now at bubba@thebubbashow.org, bubba@thebubbashow.org right now, and I'll send it to you. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with a new friend of the program, but a friend of mine, and that's Julia's son, who has done TV, has been a derivatives trader, market maker, has a degree in engineering from Cornell, and pretty smart. I always have to bring my dictionary when I have lunch with her, so I know what she's saying to me. But Julia, and by the way, you can check her out at juliasson.tv. So Julia, so now we understand the derivatives market. Now, are derivatives still big traded products, heavily traded products still, or have they slowed down?
It depends on how you define it. The quantitative side is still here, but a lot of the trading are become arithmetic, so it's automatic trading. I don't see as much of a market making in terms of somebody yell across the floor, say, hey, make me a basket of this. You know, that is going away.
Do you understand the algorithms and all that stuff, how that works? Do you personally understand it?
Well, I have, you know, worked on some of them. I have programmed some of them, but they evolve so quickly because everything needs to be adapted so quickly. So I wouldn't call myself an expert on the algorithms nowadays.
Can you explain a little bit about what they are, though? Can you give us a general? I mean, because I'd like to hear from your perspective. I mean, listen, you're a market maker, or were a market maker. You're very well educated as an engineer, and I would like to hear how they work from your perspective.
Well, basically, it's an array of statistics, and you know, it's a statistical model that takes a sample of whatever data in the database. So for, I'll give an example. One product that we traded, which right now people don't trade as often, it's called a target accumulator. And target accumulator is basically, okay, Todd, you are Todd and Company, and you are going to buy an asset, any asset. And you want to know, you as the corporate treasury, you want to hedge the price you're going to buy it at. So it's essentially a strip of forwards. And you come to me and say, hey, Julia, make me a market. I want to be able to buy this asset every month for the next 12 months. But I want to buy this asset at a specific price so I can report back to my boss and know exactly what my cost is going to be before this whole year, you know, ends. And I will assess, okay, based on past trend, based on my prediction, based on all these statistics I have, what is the likelihood of the movement? What is the likely movement of this price, and with how many percent of accuracy can I predict it? And eventually I will make you the CEO or corporate treasury of Todd & Co. and say, okay, I will sell you an option, sell you a strip of forwards, that you're going to buy this asset at, say, $100 or $100 million, whatever the price we agree on. So now you know exactly what you're getting for the next 12 months. But the only difference is every time if you save some money, I am going to count that difference. So you know, hey, I got this extra money in the bank and not paying Julia, and that is good for me. And they accumulate to a certain target. So as soon as they accumulate to a certain target, the whole structure knocks out, which is good for you because that means you already saved so much money. And if it doesn't knock out, hey, you already got the security that you always asked for. So that was a really typical derivative instrument that I traded, but it's not as popular as today. But that relies heavily on statistical models.
All right, so algorithm trading. So what are you a fan of algorithmic trading? Do you think it actually really works for normal people, or is it more of a pipe dream? Because, you know, one of the things I know
depends on how you define normal people. If you're talking about retail investors, I don't really recommend it, because I think for a retail investor, the most important thing is you know what you're getting into. And if somebody comes here and tell you, oh, this black box is going to make you a lot of money, run away. I think if you're an institutional investor and you know a lot of math and you can take apart this model and say, oh, with how many, what is the confidence interval and all that, you can examine all the tests and you feel pretty comfortable about it, yes, you can go in. But I do not really recommend that to a typical retail investor.
Okay, because, I mean, one thing I know about trading is, especially if you're going to do black box trading, you have to be prepared for drawdowns, because that's part of the business.
And exactly.
If you don't have enough money to suffer the drawdown, because no matter how sophisticated or how good the formula is, it still is a market, and it still is built on price discovery.
Yes, that is exactly right.
So tell me about what makes you tick in the markets, and then on TV. What are your things you like to do?
When I'm on TV or when I'm off TV?
When you're off TV and then when you're on TV, what are the things that you look for?
I'm on TV, I'm very happy. So my TV, I told you about this. When I'm on TV, it feels like a vacation. It never feels like work.
Right.
So I really don't know how to describe to you, but I just love being on TV. I can't tell you how much I love it. I want to do it for the rest of my life. I just love it. It's like when you really like a guy, you just love him for no reason. Or in your case, a gal. You just love her for no reason. So I just really love this whole TV business. I love to be on a show. I love to go on other people's show. I love to have guests on my show. I love to tell people what's going on in the world. You know, I host two kinds of show. One, of course, is business. Been doing that on the New York Stock Exchange. The other kind of show I do is lifestyle shows. And I just, you know, love to take people out every single day around the city. I mean, I live in New York, but I love to take people around the city or around the country and tell people, oh, what to buy, what to eat, what to wear, how to look nice. Just love it.
So
there is no reason.
So now that you that's part of your business, what's your take on this whole Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner deal?
I have not really been following that, but I would say celebrity gossip is definitely not one of my interests. That's why I'm in New York. I'm not in L.A. I had many opportunities to go to L.A., but I don't feel I feel the whole town. I just like the environment in New York a little better because I don't see myself as a celebrity gossip star. Yeah.
But I mean, they talk, you know, even the business channels, you know, every day there's like, you know, 10 or 15 minutes on Caitlyn Jenner. I mean, you know, they want to tell you the business. I mean, is it that big of a deal?
I really don't think that's that big of a deal. It's, I mean, it's unique. It's, you know, it's eye-catching, but, you know, Todd, a lot of people, a lot of things don't deserve all the airtime they're getting.
Well, that's for sure, but you deserve all the airtime you can possibly get.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Because you're on top of your game. So would you ever go back to trading?
I don't know. I'm not ruling that possibility completely out, but you know how much I love being on TV right now, so I'm not thinking about it right now.
I can understand that. I mean, it's all good. I mean, again, you got to do what you enjoy, and fortunately, you're skilled. See, now you would have no problem getting a job somewhere because you're skilled. I mean, you know, being an engineer, that's not an easy task to begin with, right? That's not exactly, taking candy from a baby. That takes a lot of work to become an engineer, doesn't it?
Well, I grew up in Silicon Valley. So for me, in a way, that was the only thing out there. I know for a lot of people, they would be like, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a performer. I want to be a marketing executive. For me, the only possible career choice, you know, coming from Silicon Valley was a scientist or engineer. So take your pick. Or if you don't make them, you can become a lawyer too or a doctor. So for me, the choice was very limited. I mean, luckily, I was very good at math. Keyword was. So I, you know, went to a good college and I got a good job. But eventually, I just said, again, I just love to be on TV.
Right, you want to be you decided that you wanted to forsake the good job or the good job you could have gotten, either staying in New York or going back to Silicon Valley. But now, see, that's the difference is, and this is one of the big things is you have a choice because you have everything that it takes to be employed in multiple fields. Where unfortunately, a lot of things have changed in the future, which makes the jobs number all that much more non-meaningful to me.
Yes, I am extremely lucky and I count my blessings all the time. I think we should all do what we want to do. If you are in a job and you keep thinking about doing something else, why wait?
That's what I think. And, you know, it's always refreshing to have somebody who gets it, who's, you know, got a plan in mind and is going to go forward with it. And I commend you for all of your stuff. And we're going to see about getting you hooked up and, you know, find that right spot. But, you know, in the meantime, it's always great to have you on the show. And I hope you'll come back and visit us again.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, no, I mean, I want to have you. You know, listen, you bring a lot of stuff. You know, I can get off the beaten path and I don't always have to beat up on the markets when I have you here. So anyways, this has been Julia Sun, and you can check her out at juliasun.tv. She does TV reporting. She has been a derivatives trader. She's also done many things, Cornell, engineering, from Silicon Valley. So we've got someone who's really got all of her stuff together. Julia Sun, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for being on The Bubba Show today.
Thank you very much, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out for a break, and we'll be right back after the break with Mike McClone. We'll be right back.
You're so delicious. You're so soft. Sweet on the tip of my tongue. You taste like sunlight. And strawberry bubble gum.
Sports fans, Bubba here. Are you a sports investor? Do you like playing around in either in the fantasy world or in the actual part of investing in sports? Well, let me tell you something. If you're not tuning in to the Sporting Edge every Saturday and Sunday morning at 10 a.m., you are missing the best read on the markets or the best read on sports. The Badger and I sit down and break down all of the investment opportunities that we look for throughout the week using purely odds and probabilities and mathematical speculation to help you break down the markets, as we like to say, or break down the sports. As you can see from our track record, we've shown many, many people how to become much better sports investors. and give themselves that best opportunity to succeed. Not only that, but you got to check out the website, thesportingedge.net. We've got all the news. We've got all the stuff. Plus, we share with you each and every week our selections as well as fantasy. Check out thesportingedge.net with Bubba and Badger. Traders, are you tired of all the fear propaganda out there? Just a few years ago, the dollar was no longer going to be the reserve currency. Are you tired of hearing all the crap from everybody who's trying to settle and peddle you fear? Well, listen to me. Bubba here has decided to assemble a staff of the top traders, and these are real traders, in the world, putting together a monthly newsletter for you, the individual trader, talking about what's going on in the markets, what we expect to go on in the markets, and how to help you profit from them. It's strictly going to be news-related, telling you things we're seeing and things you should be looking for. Now, this is going to have a cost. It's going to be $99 a year. I've got the top experts in the world, all names that you will recognize that are all real traders. To get involved, just email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. The cost is $99 a year to get this monthly report every single month. So email me now at bubba@thebubbashow.org. What's up, Bubba Show listeners? Bubba here. You know, I've always thought of ways to better educate and better help the individual trader and investor, as well as some of the brokers out there. But one of the things I always found out was the lack of real good, solid information. You know, are you tired of the fear ads? Are you tired about the fear mongers grabbing out to you and telling you how the world is coming to an end? We all know that the market has had a dramatic run here, and at some point it's going to sell off and there's going to be a big correction, and we're going to have another bear market at some point. Does that mean you should pull your investing out? Does that mean you should change things? Well, Bubba has a couple of strategies to offer you, and we do talk about options protection for a long-term portfolio and how to keep you in the game. But one of the things that we do have coming out in the year 2015 is I have assembled a team of experts that are going to put together a monthly newsletter for everybody that will come out the first of every month talking about the overall market conditions, whether you talk about commodities, alternative investments, equities, oil, everything that you can imagine that you can be involved in. And we are going to do this each and every month. We've got the top guys in the business, Keith Bliss, Scott Chalady, myself, the Badger. We're all going to be writing and contributing to this particular newsletter. And this is something that will be each and every month. The first of the month will be delivered to you through email. We're going to be working on this. The subscription fee for this is $99 a year. You will get 12 issues loaded with strategies, webinars. You'll be invited to webinars. It will be the answer to all of your investing needs. All you need to do is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and say, I want to be part of that letter. I want to be ahead of everybody else, because you will be there if you do so. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org right now, and we'll get you hooked up. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for my man, the ETF King, ETFsecurities.com, Mike McClone. What's happening?
Hey, Todd. How are you? Happy, I guess, is it Friday?
Happy whatever day it is. And so, Mike, you know, you've been on this bandwagon for quite some time, and you seem to be playing out correctly on what you said as far as what the overall economy looks like. How does it look to you now? What are you kind of seeing here? What's your views of the most recent action? Because it's been kind of ugly, even though we haven't really collapsed, but everything's just kind of been very, very murky. What are you seeing?
I think we should probably expect more murky. And I think what we're seeing is part of that law of unintended consequences. The story lately has been the big spike in bond yields, notably in Europe. The German bund was down at 6 basis points, which means 0.06% just in April, and now it's near 1%. So that spike in yields on the back of these bond buying programs by the ECB has helped create a little bit of, I guess the best word might be, discombobulation and some volatility globally, and it's happening here. It's making, you know, we've had this massive rally in the dollar, and one of the things, key things that supported the dollar is U.S. economic growth and higher interest rates in the U.S. But now that disparity between higher rates in the U.S. and extremely low rates in Europe has kind of narrowed a little bit. We've had, you know, just the repercussions. But the key things I like to keep watching is we've had the good news is we've had good auto sales. We've had a few good signs of retail, you know, the U.S. consumer picking up. But overall, the things that I've been watching that have really given me concern are U.S. retail sales. We just had consumer spending come out last week, and they're still very, very low. And the trend, the scary thing for me is the trend has been down. So I think what happened also this week is Christine Lagarde, who actually used to live in Chicago for a while, from the IMF, said, you know, she suggests that the Fed should not raise rates until 2016. And I think she's just one of those people who are, we're not all understanding what the Fed's doing. And I think the Fed would love to raise rates because of a massively expanding economy and inflation and everything. But I think they know this is probably what they're doing is probably more of a bit of a warning and a ruse. And they said so. And that is part of it because I think they're a little bit concerned of maybe excessive valuations in some asset classes because of really low rates. But, you know, unemployment might help. But the overall story is there's just no signs of retail sales, inflation, and the stuff that the Fed should be worried about when they raise rates.
Well, I mean, now, again, you know, here's where you and I have just a little bit of a disconnect. I agree with you on retail sales. But, you know, like, for example, jobs. The jobs suck. I don't care if they come up with 800,000. If there are 800,000 of minimum wage jobs or service jobs and we're not seeing an increase in pay, I can't get excited about it. I can't get excited when the participation rate is the lowest since 1978. Those things, I don't find those things exciting, nor do I find them a major improvement to the economy. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I don't think you're not wrong, and I think it's what people are not getting sometimes is what the Fed is trying to do here. Remember, I work, you know, a couple blocks away from the New York Fed, and I know a few economists there. They have an army of some really good, smart people who do all the analysis, who see the things that I talk about. They see all that. They talk about it. They report that to the governors, and they let them know what's going on. And I think they know that. I think they see that. I think they understand that. But I think they're doing this forward-looking rhetoric plan, partly because we discussed earlier, because we've had this massive period of QE. They want to make sure they're well warned if or when they tighten, the market won't have any type of massive volatility. And I think the key difference is that they're saying things to really maybe more just kind of set us up for what might happen, but it's still a bit of a dream. The dream is, you know, the inflation picks up, the economy picks up, but well, we all see labor participation as well. We see unemployment claims are low. The key thing that's been the kicker for me lately is when something happens that shouldn't happen, and that is we had this pretty substantial boost, and we should have had this pretty substantial boost in consumer spending, retail sales from the decline in energy prices, and we're getting the opposite. So what that indicates to me is that the economy might be much slower and be slowing down when other people think it's going to increase. So the Fed's part of the picture. They definitely have to be. But as far as tightening in an environment where, you know, inflation's really picking up and everybody's demanding more money because there's not enough, you know, there's too many jobs out there, not enough people, that's still just a complete dream.
Well, I mean, you know, I know the people that work for the Fed are smart. I know the economists that work for the Fed are smart, but they are not smart when it comes to running a business, which is what we are. You know, no matter how you look at it, we are running a business. And the business that we're running is failing, and they have no idea how to fix it. I mean, they made statements years ago, if unemployment gets to this, we're going to raise rates. If unemployment gets to this, we're going to raise rates. And so far, they've not raised rates at any post. They made one attempt in 2013 to indicate it, and the market started to melt down a little bit. Now, my question to you is, who cares about the stock market at this point? The stock market's up 200-something% since the bottom. What's wrong with a little bit of a sell-off? What is wrong with getting the real economy back on track and enough of taking care of Wall Street and the rich guys and the entitled people? When are they going to get back and say, hey, you know what, this economy will not succeed unless we bring back the middle class so that we can see better retail sales and all these other things that happen, because they're not getting spending from the people who support all economies.
Yeah, that is one of, like we mentioned, that's one of my biggest concerns at the moment, is just this lack of spending, this lack of income pickup, and your average household income has just been stagnant forever. The good news is people have been buying cars. You know, car sales have been doing very well. We're running around 17 million annualized, which during the crisis got down to like 11 or 12. But the issue I think that sometimes the Fed might not pick up on, the things that we discussed a little bit earlier, was this substantial paradigm shift in what's happening globally, and not only in demographics, but technology. And that's the thing that I was just digging in recently, where this is something that they don't get yet, I don't think, that people like us try to dig into. And that is, let's talk about the key term I like to use is 98 quadrillion BTUs. That's kind of like, sounds like a big word. I learned what quadrillion. Quadrillion is 10 to the 15th. So it's a big number, and a BTU is a British thermal unit. That number I just gave you is the amount of energy, total energy, that this country uses and expected to use, is on pace to use this year. The thing is, that has not increased for the last 10 years or 15 years. That's never happened, where we're not using more energy. Now, why is that? Well, our economy is expanding. The population is growing. It's because of technology. I mean, average car now gets 25 miles per gallon. Everybody's into efficiency and things like that. And the big difference is the average amount of energy we're going to produce, total energy we're going to produce, probably this year will be just about 95 quadrillion BTUs. So we're almost there. We're almost even within the next few years we'll break even. Again, that's because of technology. To me, that's just a big example of the shift that people at the Fed probably, most people are not really getting, although we're living in, not getting it, and that is, that's completely deflationary. It's happening globally, where, you know, this massive pickup in demand we're supposed to be getting, a lot of it is being replaced by technology, even labor, you know, a lot of labor and robots and things, and it's accelerating, and I think that's part of the reason why inflation is just still a dream. You know, the old days when unions would increase wages and, you know, we had CPI running, you know, 5-6%, right now it's running about zero.
You know, Mike, you're obviously an extremely intelligent human being. You have a very diverse background, educated, was a floor trader, and now have become into your space now. And, you know, one of the things I noticed, and one of the things that bothers me, is I don't see the pride in the American worker anymore. And that kind of has a disturbing effect on me. What do you see in there? Are you seeing anything like that? Is that changed as well? Are we not having the same drive to produce?
I have to admit, there I'm a bit of a hopeless optimist. What I've really seen is a reverse of offshoring. And, you know, if you look at the early 90s into the year 2010 or so, 2008, there was this substantial demand by all, or trend in all, most U.S. corporations to offshore a lot of their sale, you know, a lot of their helplines and everything to overseas and offshore and make it as cheap as possible. What I see is a shift of that going back. I had a good friend who worked at a company. He said, you know, we found with our offshoring of our help desk that it created more problems than it was worth. So I have a sense a lot of that's coming back. And I look like in the clothes industry. My wife was working in a retail clothes store. And she said a lot of customers would come in and say all the labels were, you know, from Malaysia or wherever else. And she basically say, you know, I want something made in America. And I think that was the shift post 9/11. I think Americans are getting it. We're all shifting that way. And the difference is, one thing we are a leader in is technology. So I sense kind of the opposite. I sense a lot of consumers are going back the other way. And I've seen it in corporate America where, you know, that, you know, Buy America is kind of coming back. Not just Buy America, but I sense there's also one thing you have to, you know, we realize when you leave this country, it's you just don't see as many flags flowing. In this country, you see American flags everywhere. So I'm kind of, I guess, biased to that shifting back to, you know, for instance, when I mentioned to people, I have a son who's a U.S. Marine, people, they say, oh, well, thank him for his service. You didn't hear that 10 years ago. We didn't hear that before 9/11.
Yeah, no, I love that. And obviously I love America and I think there's no place like it. However, you know, I went to Home Depot a week ago and I couldn't get any help. Everybody was standing around doing nothing and nobody could answer a question. To me, I find that disturbing because, you know, I'm a coach from way back. I was a baseball coach for young kids. And I always said, you know, you're going to be here for X amount of time. Doesn't it make sense? And time goes faster and is better when you put your effort into it while you're there, because you're going to be there anyway. So why not make it better and make it a better experience for anybody, everybody, when you do that? But we're going to come back from the break. I'm with Mike McClone from ETFSecurities.com. You got to check out their site. They're a new sponsor of The Bubba Show, and I want to make sure you check them out because Bubba believes in their products, and we're going to come back after the break and talk about some of those products because they tie right into the next topic. This is The Bubba Show. I am with Mike McClone from ETFSecurities.com. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
10 miles from town, and I just broke down, spitting out smoke on the side of the road. I'm out here alone, just trying to get home to tell you I was wrong. But you...
Advisors and investors, do you want to stay whole through the next crash? Do you want to find some better long-term strategies to invest in? Are you looking for a better way to protect the portfolio, or do you want to stay stuck benchmarked to that S&P, which really has no real value? I'm telling you right now that if you check out my friends at Circle Squared Alts, ALTS.com, and my man Jeff Sika, go to his website, check it out. You will find some alternative strategies that will help you not only protect your own portfolio, but if you're an advisor, help you protect the portfolio of those that invest with you. It's something that is extremely important, especially as we know how markets do fluctuate. At some point, we are going to have another market sell-off. I recommend to you now that you go to CircleSquaredAlts.com or email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and check it out. My man Jeff Sika, bubba@thebubbashow.org, check it out.
Traders, 2015 is going to be your year. And what I want you to look at is I want you to look at a product that I'm involved in called the Options Money Machine. It's a service that we offer that creates weekly opportunities to take benefit of the weekly options by selling spreads, collecting credit, and creating an income stream for yourself. Now, as Bob always says, no trades or series of trades are always guaranteed. But over the last 18 months, my Options Money Machine program has generated over a 65% return. I want you to check it out and see if it's right for you. That is the Options Money Machine. And all you have to do to get more information is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. And I will be happy to hook you up, walk you through the program, show you how it works. But it is the Options Money Machine that is done with a weekly webinar every Thursday. All you have to do is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get hooked up with the Options Money Machine. Traders, have you ever heard the term, there is no time like the present? Well, Bubba's here telling you there is no time like the present. The Badger and me have put together a series of webinars, a 12-week webinar package of teaching you options from the very beginning. In other words, if you don't know anything about options, it's for you. If you're very advanced in options, it's for you because we're going to get to all of the strategies that you can possibly ever want to get to trade, invest, or protect your long-term portfolio. This will be a group that is a maximum size of 10 participants per webinar series, in which the Badger and I will teach you basically one-on-one how options work, how they trade, how they benefit you, and how to help you increase yield on your current portfolio or put yourself in a better place of trading going forward. All you need to do to get more information is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. There is a cost to this program, but email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and I'll give you all the information that you need to know.
I was invincible. And I was proud. Yeah, I was drunk. And I was loud. I was invincible. And I was proud. After 10,000 beers and 28 years.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Mike McClone from ETFSecurities.com. A new sponsor of the Bubba Show, and obviously when we have sponsors, it's because we believe in the products that they have. And so, Mike, you know, your products are, you know, basically you've got a couple of different, but one of the keys and one of your beginning was, you know, in the metals and gold space, and you've got a couple of different ETFs. But before we get into what those are, tell me about what you thought about the action in gold. You know, gold looks, you know, I think gold is pretty strong. You know, I thought 1180 or so, that area. You know, although we're a little bit lower than that now, but I think that's a pretty good area, and I think that's a support area that I'd look to be buying. But why is gold now under, you know, so much intense pressure here?
I just put out my monthly report for the month of May on precious metals, including gold's the number one precious metal, so that should be on your website soon. The key, my key premise for this report was, is gold consolidating or is it forming a foundation? And my bias is more the latter. I think it's forming a foundation. And here's why. Because if gold will not go down in an environment where the dollar is taking off and the VIX is just so low, volatility is very low, and the stock market is still just reaching record highs, what is going to tank? In addition, we've had pretty substantial outflows in ETFs. So there's a lot of reasons gold should be going down. It should have been going down last year, and it's not. So what I think it's doing is showing very impressive resilience. And I think one thing you really can measure gold in is it's not just U.S. dollars, but what's happening is in terms of the euro. So, for instance, year to date, gold is effectively unchanged. But in terms of the euro currency, you know, the pretty substantial euro currency, it's up almost 10%. So that, to me, is the essence of the story in gold. It's the quintessential currency, but it's not really just, you know, it's the currency without a liability. There's no one printing it. And you can, there's a big difference between all the precious metals and any other commodity. There's been basically very few new discoveries of any of the precious metals in the last 10 or 20 years versus compared to things like corn or even ethanol and crude oil. We find other ways to create it, new technologies. So what I see is impressive resilience and a divergent market that's showing good strength and at some point should do weather. But one thing to always remember about the precious metals is they're a tremendous diversifier. It shouldn't be a primary part of your portfolio, but it's a great place to diversify. And they have some of the best tendency of all liquid assets to zig when everything else is zagging. Now, short term, yeah, a couple of days and weeks, they might not do that exactly. But long term, for instance, since the year 2000, when gold was about $300 an ounce, and now it's effectively $1,200 an ounce, it's doing what it's supposed to do. And again, if you ever get inflation or even deflation, the precious metals are some of the best places to be. And that's one thing we got a lot of interest in. I was at a conference last week, an investment conference, and a lot of people talking about potentially trying to protect themselves. They're a bit worried about the equity market.
And of course, with good reason. And of course, so your products, you know, are unique. And this is, you know, most people, you know, the common man doesn't understand the dynamics of how markets work. And, you know, we've talked about in the past contango and backwardation and cost to carry and all these other things. But that's what really separates the ETFsecurities.com ETFs from others, because you guys have actually accounted for all that and actually are priced accordingly, because you're benchmarked right to the actual physical, correct?
Exactly. It's the classic KISS methodology. You know, keep it simple, stupid. It's part of the reason I came here, and I'm very happy to market these products as I believe in them. And that's an issue I had when I was at S&P. At S&P, I manage commodity indices, and they track futures. And if you have any ETF that tracks any commodity like crude oil, it's going to have issues with getting that spot return because it can't invest in crude oil because it has to track the futures. So I'll give you an example. Since 2008, the, you know, crude oil is up about 60% in the spot price, but the number one ETF that tracks it is down about 30% because it has to track the futures. And that's the difference with our physically backed precious metals products, is they physically invest that precious metal, lock it up in a vault, and the only difference between the ETF return and the precious metal is the expense ratio. That's it. It's simple as they get. They're very straightforward, and so there's no derivatives in between, and you never have to worry about things like contango or backwardation, which is a whole different ballgame.
Exactly. And I mean, I think that's valuable to the average investor, because you heard a stat, and you can check this out for yourself. I mean, this is not, you know, fluff. This is real information from Mike that's telling you that if you look at the ETF that actually backs it from others, they don't follow the spot. And when you buy, you know, if you're buying gold, you know, if you're buying an ETF for gold instead of the hard asset, you want it to track spot, and you want it to be, if gold goes up 20%, you want your ETF to go up, you know, 20% or whatever. And that is not the case when you're dealing with some of these others. And I think that's important to understand, because that's what they do. And this is a product that is really dynamic to the ETF space, because there's very few like it that are actually almost dollar for dollar with what is exactly happening. So when you buy it, you're buying that dollar for dollar, correct?
Well, correct. Now, I think there's one key statistic that really would just, you know, don't take my word for it. See what the market's saying, and that is, you look at silver. Silver is, we all know, it's basically considered poor man's gold. The nickname for silver is the devil's metal, because sometimes it's very difficult to understand because it likes to move around a lot. But if the total, you look at the total amount of silver held, you know, above the ground bullion, which is silver that's, you know, melted down in the bars, held in the world. Currently, about 75% of above-the-ground bullion in the world is now held in ETFs. So that's a significant migration. ETFs in silver only started in 2006. We have the most cost-effective silver ETF out there. And basically what's happening is the ETF market's allowing retail people to get wholesale prices in the precious metals. So effectively in the past, if you wanted to hold silver, you could either buy it and put it in your laundry drawer or put it in a safe deposit or even have it stored in a bank. You had to pay for that. Now you can do an ETF and it costs 30 basis points a year, which means for every $100, it costs 30 cents a whole year. And that's just, you know, not only is that cost effective, look what's happening in the market. A lot of that inventory that used to be held in vaults and things is now being held through ETFs, and then, of course, ETFs will put it in the vault. So to me, that's really what's happening in the industry, and that's just basically what's happening because of the ETF business. ETFs are just generally more cost-effective and transparent and tax-efficient than most other investment, you know, like mutual funds investment vehicles.
I agree with you. And so now you had the – you know, back, I don't know, about 6 months ago now, you had the new Zacks earnings ETF, and we basically concluded the first full earnings season with this new product. What was the performance like? How was it? And what's your take on it?
Well, the Zacks has done very well. Historically, has done very well. The best way to look at Zacks is, let's think of what's happened to the market in the last few years, 6 years. We have had annual returns in the broad stock market. It is around 16%. Historically, that's wonderful, but historically, that's very difficult to replicate and to keep going forward. And most analysts are expecting the future to be a bit more of a stock picker's market. And that's where an index like the Zacks would come in very well. So Zacks is a research group in Chicago. They're very unique. What they do is they disseminate all the sell-side research from brokers on buy stock recommendations, and they put that and they try to make it unbiased. And so we thought this was a great way to track the market going forward. So what they do is they pick stocks based on earnings estimate revisions, the trend in earnings estimates. So we were the first ETF and probably the only ETF firm that launched an ETF based on their methodology. And we think we've hit a really good, I wouldn't say a home run, but I think we've hit a very good methodology for going future forward, where they just pick the best stocks every quarter. They rebalance based on what they see as the best earnings and the best earnings quality. And so basically, it's kind of more of a stock picker's market or something going forward, where the broad indices might not go up as much, which they probably won't, yet you should be able, the quality stocks will always do well. And it's not just the ones you hear about, more of the stocks that just have the best earnings when you really dig into their analysis. Of course, I'm not smart enough to do that, but Zacks is, and we're smart enough to track an ETF on their methodology.
Don't cut yourself short, Mike. You're one of the smartest guys I know, and I respect what you do, and I really love your company, ETFsecurities.com. Mike McClone, it is always a pleasure that you are a regular contributor to The Bubba Show. I always appreciate the time that you spend with us, because every time I'm with you, I learn something new.
Thanks, Bubba. I've really enjoyed it.
This has been Mike McClone from ETFsecurities.com. They are a new sponsor of The Bubba Show, and I encourage you to go check out their website, check out their products. You will find that these are some of the better products in the industry to help you accomplish the goals you're trying to accomplish as an investor. They're not for trading, they're for investing, and this is ways that you can accumulate a great mimic for hard gold and things like that. So make sure you check out ETFsecurities.com. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. It's late September and I really should be back at school. I know I keep you amused, but I feel I'm being used. Oh, Maggie, I couldn't have tried.